Hey, good morning. My name is Jeremiah. I'm one of the pastors here at Westbridge, and it's awesome to have you here with us. Thrilled that you're here. Go ahead and grab your outline. That'll help you follow along with the talk this morning. As you're grabbing that, I want to say hello to those of you in our parent viewing area. Thanks for joining us there. That's a great option if you have small children that you prefer to keep with you during the service. Also want to say hello to those of you who are checking us out online and watching through that venue as well. If you'd like to follow along on your smart device, this same outline is available on the YouVersion app, the Bible app, and you can go to the bottom right corner and select More. And then select Events and search Westbridge Church. And you can find this same outline available there as well. Other thing I want to draw your attention to is the thing I just threw on the floor. That was super smooth. Okay. This catalog is available. This is our catalog of groups. And so there's a bunch of groups in here that you can sign up for. And what groups are different groups of people that meet all over the area. And as we grow larger as a church, we recognize the need for connection so that somebody, that you know somebody and somebody knows you, so that as our faith is growing, we have people that we're living that out with in community. And groups is really just a great way to do that. And so our groups meet for about 8 to 10 weeks in different seasons. This next season kicks off in just a couple of weeks, October 7th. And so this is a catalog of groups that are available. And there's a bunch of different ones. There's one for Financial Peace University. That's one that we're doing. There's one called Starting Point. If you're like, I'm kind of new to faith, or I'm kind of new to the church, or you know, I want to just this starting point. And so there's one called Starting Point that you can jump into. There's one for support if you've been through a divorce or going through a divorce. We have a group for that. There's groups for families, groups for couples. There's all kinds of options. And so I want to encourage you to browse this and sign up for a group. And you can do that right on your connection card, or you can do that online. The website is on the back of this catalog right there. All right, so that's some really cool things coming up. And then today, I'm super excited that you're here. I'm super excited that you're checking this out online, because we are kicking off our series today called #ParentFail. #ParentFail. So let me tell you where I'm coming from with this series. Before we started Westbridge Church, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I worked with junior high students and high school students, and then when we transitioned to the church, my wife and I also have 4 kids, and so we have a daughter who's 15 years old, we have a daughter who's 12 years old, a son who's 10, and a son who is 4 years old, and on top of all that, I will tell you, I used to be an expert on parenting before we had kids. I was amazing. So many great ideas. So I want you to know this series is for everybody, because all of us either have kids, or we intend to have kids, or we interact with kids on some level. So today we're not just talking to parents, we're talking to teachers and coaches and aunts and uncles and godparents. And so if you interact with kids on any level, you're going to find something helpful and applicable today. I also want you to know that even though we're going to learn some things from the Bible, there's some principles that are that come from the scriptures that I think will really apply to our life. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus or a sort of quote-unquote church person in order to put some of this stuff into practice. And so even if you would say, well, I'm not really a Jesus follower, or I'm not really a church person, you can still take the things that we're learning and apply as much as you want to. And I still believe that it will be beneficial for you. You can decide how much of this you want to put into practice in your own life and in your own family. Also, before we jump in, let me say this. I realize that anytime we do a series that is, you know, towards a specific topic like parenting, that for some of you, talking about parenting surfaces difficult seasons in your life where you lost a child, or maybe for some of you, you've been trying to have children for a long time and it hasn't happened for you yet. And I want you to know that the goal here is not to downplay your sorrow. And I can't possibly imagine the pain of losing a child. But I want you to know our goal is not to surface painful memories or rub your nose in the blessings of others, but also as a faith community, when we grieve with those who grieve and we celebrate with those who celebrate. And the intention of this series is to recognize that we have a lot of kids at this church, and we have a lot of kids that are a blessing from God, and our goal is simply to say, how do we leverage relationships to help parents do everything they can to do the best that they can with their kids that they've been given? And so with that in mind, I want to jump into this topic of parenting. And let me just to kick us off, let's just ask this question. How many of you are new parents? You've been a parent for like 2 years or less. Anybody? I can't really see. Okay, a couple of hands here. Yeah, most of them are, they're not in here because they're watching online because they're at home. And they're like, we couldn't get out of the house today. So I recognize that, no problem. How about this? Let me ask you this question. I've actually been, in anticipation of this series, I've followed a couple people on Twitter over the last couple weeks, and one was called Sarcastic Mommy, and one was called, I forget the exact name, but basically Sarcastic Dad. And Sarcastic Dad tweeted this last week, "Sometimes my kids are so cute, it literally hurts my heart just to look at them. Other times, they're awake." I thought that was great. And then Sarcastic Mom said this, "New neighbors moved in across the street and offered to host a play date. For all I know, they might be axe murderers, but for 3 hours of peace and quiet, I'm willing to risk it." Now, how many of you are parents of teenagers? Lift your hands nice and high. Okay, yeah. You have never understood your kids less than you do right now. Right? It's like you're speaking different languages, okay? I get that. Another mom wrote this last week. "So glad our house has 3 bathrooms so all my kids can argue while brushing their teeth in mine." You've probably experienced that dynamic somewhere along the way. Now, let me ask this. How many of you are empty nesters? The kids are out of the house. Wow. This is the exact reaction I would have expected, yeah. These people, you can tell them a mile away because they're so happy and they're always smiling, right? It's amazing. They have disposable income. It's incredible. I will tell you this. Parenting is one of the most difficult jobs on the entire planet. You know that's true. We are in a stage of parenting right now where we have kids from preschool to high school and everything in between. Okay, so we have a 4-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, and 15-year-old. All right, and that's a lot going on in any family. At this point, there isn't a week that goes by where someone doesn't run away from home, but I promise I come back every time. And there's enough dysfunction in any family to make you feel like a failure. Half the time, you just feel like, man, I'm just doing the best I can, and hashtag parent fail, you know? And I want you to hear this today. You are not alone. We all feel that way. We all sense that man, we're just doing the best that we can. And part of the reason parenting is so difficult is that it always seems like we're chasing our kids into the next season of life. And so just as soon as you get preschool figured out, they're not in preschool anymore. And as soon as you get this age figured out, they're not that age anymore. Now they're dealing with a whole new set of problems and dynamics that you weren't prepared for. So parenting often feels reactive rather than proactive. Another reason is every single kid is so vastly different. If you have more than one kid, then you know, like, it's astonishing how different kids can be that come from the same set of parents. Like, you're the same jumble of DNA, but you are so vastly different. It's amazing. And then every generation has new challenges. The stuff that people were dealing with when I was a kid isn't the things that our kids are dealing with. I saw this recently. It was on a TED Talk, How to Be a Great Parent in 2018. This is great. Make sure your children's academic, emotional, psychological, mental, spiritual, physical, nutritional, and social needs are met, while being careful not to overstimulate, understimulate, improperly medicate, helicopter, or neglect them in a screen-free, processed foods-free, GMO-free, negative energy-free, plastic-free, body-positive, socially conscious, egalitarian but also authoritative, nurturing but fostering of independence, gentle but not permissive, pesticide-free, two-story, multilingual home, preferably on a cul-de-sac, with a backyard and 2 siblings spaced at least 2 years apart for proper development, and don't forget the coconut oil. That's it. That's all it takes. And then underneath it, it said, how to be a great parent in literally every previous generation. Feed them sometimes. That's it. Like, just keep them alive, you know? And so in today's generation, we recognize there is so much to be concerned about. And we're concerned for their safety, and we're concerned about all these things. And we have... I look at our own family, and so, you know, we have a trampoline in the back of our house that our kids jump in. It's got nets all the way around it, and it's got, like, padding covering all the springs. I remember we had a trampoline growing up in our neighborhood, and it didn't have any of that stuff. There were no nets. I remember I jumped off and, you know, I landed like straddling one of those springs once. My friends didn't even stop jumping. You know, it was just like the spring just kept going. My dad's like, walk it off, you know? And I'm telling you, we feel pressure because of the generation and the things that our kids are dealing with. We feel all this pressure to just get it right all the time. And that can feel like a moving target. I love the conversation from Lewis Carroll's book, Alice in Wonderland, between Alice and the Cheshire Cat. Alice says, would you please tell me which way I ought to go? And he says, well, that depends on where you want to get to. Well, I don't really much care where, she says. And so he says, then it doesn't matter which way you go. And I think that applies to parenting quite a bit. If you don't know what you're trying to accomplish with parenting, if you don't know what the end game is, if you don't know where you're heading as a parent, it can feel a lot like a moving target. And truly, it can be a daunting, overwhelming task. As a result, parenting is tough. It can be reactive. And yet, King David is a poet, and we pull this from the Hebrew scriptures, Psalms, and part of the poetry that King David writes is in Psalm 127, he writes this, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. The children born when one is young are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Happy is the man whose quiver is full. They're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Happy is the man whose quiver is full. And as parents, we acknowledge our kids are a blessing. They bring so much joy, and we want to do everything we can to be great parents. But if we're honest, there isn't a great playbook for some of this stuff. And as a result of that, it ends up being very, very reactive and not very proactive. And so what if there was a way that we could sort of have a grid, have a lens through which to view parenting that would help us to be more proactive and less reactive? What if there was something that we could think about that would help us as parents to know, here's the direction I'm heading with my kids? And we're not gonna have all the answers for everything, but what if there was at least a sense of purpose, a way to look at parenting that would help us be less reactive, more proactive? And I think that we can do that. That's what we wanna tackle today. And so the reason for that, the reason that's really important is because in our culture, our tendency is to make kids experience rich and relationship poor. It's just the tendency in the culture that you and I are a part of. Experience rich, relationship poor. In other words, for many of us, the thinking kind of goes like this. I want my kids to experience things I never got to experience. Or maybe I had these great experiences, I want them to experience those things. Or I want them to be a part of this sport, or I want them to be part of this club, and I want my kids to have things that I never had. And so as a result, we are driven to make them experience rich. Got to be a part of this, got to be a part of that. We got to go here, and we got to go there, and look good, and make sure they're in the right school, and make sure that they show up on time, make sure that they get good grades. And oftentimes, our kids end up being experience rich and unintentionally relationship poor. Like, imagine if aliens from another planet came and they were to observe our species. And they didn't know our language, but they just had to report on what they saw. They would conclude, I think that they would go back to their leaders and they would conclude, okay, people living in the United States of America, I think that we've got them figured out. They just have to be on the go all the time and arrive on time and look good doing it. Right? And we would go, well, no, there's more to it than that. But I'm telling you, if somebody just observed the way that we live our life, they would probably conclude, this is how they survive. They just go places all the time. And they do a lot of stuff. And they have a lot of experiences. And while we would recognize that's not really healthy, it's not really a great way to live life. Now, I can tell you as a pastor, I often sit with people who are trying to figure out how to navigate life. Based on what life is throwing at them, based on whatever issues they've kind of smuggled into their present from their past. And do you know that in over 20 years of working full-time at a church, do you know what I've never heard? Here's some of the reasons people have that I've never heard. I've never heard someone say, well, it all started when I didn't make the eighth grade soccer team. That's what started me on this path. And that now I've got these issues. If I would have just made the soccer team in eighth grade. I've never heard my problems stem from not getting into the college of my choice. I've never heard, well, I had to go to public school. I've never heard this. My dad made me drive a used car. I mean, that's where it started. And I have never been able to hold a job since. How about this? We never owned a PlayStation growing up. I've never heard that. I've never heard this. My clothes were so non-trendy that my self-esteem never recovered. No one's ever said that. No one's ever said I had to miss that one gymnastics meet, and man, that was it. See, these are all experiences. And the reality is we don't look at experiences when we look back at whatever issues we're dealing with now. It's never about experiences. I can tell you in my experience, 100% of the time, it's a relational issue that's a roadblock in people's lives. Because experiences are wonderful, and I'm not downplaying experiences at all. But the temptation for us, especially in the fast-paced society that you and I live in, is to ensure that our children's lives are experience-rich at the expense, oftentimes, of relationship. Everybody gets to the game on time. Everybody gets A's on the report card, but I can't remember the last time we actually had dinner together. I'm busy, 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 but I can't tell you the last time I had just sat down eyeball to eyeball and had a conversation with one of my kids. It's so much easier for us to measure our parenthood based on how active and involved our kids are in different experiences. But we rarely measure our parenthood based on the depth of their relationships. But here's what we all know to be true as adults. It's our ability to develop and maintain healthy relationships that makes life worth living. Isn't that true for you? I know that's true for me. Without healthy relationships, life is a struggle. Career is a struggle. Parenting is a struggle. Every just day-to-day living is a struggle if you don't have the ability to sustain and maintain healthy relationships. In fact, when you think about all the things that have shaped who you are as a person, you are the sum of all of your relationships, your experiences, and your decisions. Your relationships, your experiences, and your decisions. That makes up who you are. My life is the sum total of the relationships that I've had, the things that I've experienced, some of the things I chose to experience, some things that just happened, and my decisions. And here's what you know about your experiences. You know that they were largely shaped by your relationships. The experiences that you have are largely impacted by your relationships. And here's what you also know is true about your decisions. Your decisions are largely impacted by your relationships. How you were raised, who you were with that night when you made that one decision that you'll never forget, who we went into partnership with, who was our first roommate, who we chose to date. The relationships have a big impact on the decisions that we make and the things that we experience. So, consequently, there are key relationships. Those are the things that have impacted your experiences and impacted your decisions and who you've become more than any other single factor. It's the key relationships that you've had in your life. And so here are three key relationships that have impacted who you are as an adult. Your relationships with your parents, God, and others. These three key relationships have impacted your life more than anything else. Your relationship with your parents, your relationship with God, your relationship with others. Specifically, your relationship or your lack of relationship with your parents, your relationship or your lack of relationship with God, and your relationships with other people who have influenced your life. These three key relationships have impacted and shaped and formed who you have become more than anything else in your life. When you boil it right down, those three key relationships have impacted and shaped the adult that you are. Think about it like this. Imagine if you had three dials. Imagine if you had three dials that you could dial in these relationships, right? And each one represented one of these. Relationship with mom and dad, relationship with God, relationship with others in my life who are outside of my family. And when you look back at your life, during critical seasons of your life, during critical decisions that you were facing, wouldn't it be awesome if you could dial in a little bit more of mom and dad, maybe dial in a little bit more of God, maybe dial out some of those people you were listening to or dial in others, maybe dial down mom, dial in dad a little more, or vice versa. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could adjust sort of this relational mix during critical seasons of your life? What if you could look back? Man, I made that decision, and that was a weighty decision. That was a decision that followed me into adulthood, and had I made that decision differently, the trajectory of my life would have been a little bit different. And if I had just listened to the people that were giving me the wisdom during that season that I ignored, What if you could go back and tune that in a little bit and tune this out a little bit and say, man, here was a, I wish I knew God was really asking this of me, but I really wanted to do my own thing. What if you could go back and tune in God a little bit better? You know what I know it would be true? If you could do that, you could probably escape all of your biggest regrets. If you had the ability to do that, wouldn't it be great if you could do that? And here's what I know. If we could do that, we could probably escape. We could probably avoid all of our biggest regrets. You could avoid that season that you got yourself into because you didn't listen to what Dad was trying to tell you. You could avoid that night because you decided to listen to someone else instead of the voice of wisdom that you knew God was speaking to you. What if you could go back and do that? Wouldn't it be amazing? You could avoid all your biggest regrets. Here is what I know is true about your kids, because I know it's true about my kids. One day, our kids are gonna be the sum total of their relationships, their experiences, and their decisions. And as a parent, you cannot control everything they experience. And as a parent, you cannot control their decisions. But I'm telling you, as a parent, you have a ton of influence and sometimes even control over their key relationships. Those that are influencing them and how you're influencing their relationship, specifically their relationship with you as mom or dad, their relationship with God, and their relationship with others outside of your home. And if we can parent through that grid, if we can think about those key relationships, if we do nothing else as parents, if we can just lock in those three relationships, then regardless of what stage of development or what age your kids are, you can begin to influence them in an incredible way. High school students, let me talk to you for just a second. You're in high school and you're like, man, we're doing parenting. Here we go. We're not gonna be parents for a while. You have to understand, you are in a season of life right now that is critical to the adult that you will become. You are becoming an adult right now in this season. And your relationship with your parents, your relationship with God, and your relationship with others is going to define who you become. It's critical to the adult that you are turning into. What if you could avoid all of your biggest regrets before you ever make them? What if you could avoid your biggest regrets without ever having to make them? Wouldn't that be great? You are in a season of your life right now where you have that opportunity. You have that opportunity, but here's what it's gonna take. You've gotta partner with your parents to make sure that you maintain a good relationship with your mom, with your dad, that you're allowing them to influence your relationship with God, that you're allowing them to influence people who are influencing you. Because when you do that, it will shape the person that you become. So, parents, let me ask you three questions, and then that's it. That'll be our time together. Three questions that every parent should ask as it relates to parenting and what we want to accomplish with our kids. Number one, what am I doing to advance my child's relationship with me? What am I doing to advance my child's relationship with me as their mom, as their dad? You know how like sometimes you sit around and you're talking with friends, and by friends I mean your therapist, and you talk about your parents. You do this, I do this, we all do this, and we're like, man, when I was growing up, and you just kind of like riff on your parents a little bit, and my mom did this, and my dad, here's my dad's personality, and here's how things went in our house. This was kind of the dynamic, and you kind of talk about that. And some of it is great, a lot of it's great, some of it maybe you wish you could change a little bit, but you have the opportunity to do that for your kids. Because I think about my own kids, right? One day they're gonna be sitting around, probably in counseling, and talking, you know, maybe talking to friends or whatever, and they're gonna be like, okay, guys, my dad was a pastor, okay, and OMG. Like, it was so complicated, and there were high expectations, and if only he had, or if only our mom had, or whatever. And I know that's probably gonna happen, right? And your kids are gonna be sitting around talking about their childhood someday with their friends, and they're gonna be talking about what you did and didn't do, and how you did or didn't invest in their lives. And if you can learn to ask this question, regardless of what stage your kids are in, you have the opportunity to define a lot of that for them. This question, what am I doing to advance my child's relationship with me as their parent? The Apostle Paul wrote this to followers of Jesus living in Ephesus, and I think it's so applicable to us today. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul writes this, "Parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Don't provoke them. Don't provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them, but instead, rather, bring them up. Here's what he's saying. Moms and dads, don't do anything to alienate your children relationally. Don't do anything that exasperates them or provokes them to the point where you actually lose relationship with them. If you're in that much of a gridlock, it is better for you to lose that particular conflict than to lose relationship altogether. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, instead, bring them up. That word is it literally means guide, coach, nurture them. This is a highly instructional and highly relational word. He's saying stay involved in their life and stay in tune in their life in such a way that you never push them away, that you never alienate them. Your goal is to retain influence in their life, because here's what we know. As our kids get older, the decisions that they make impact their life deeper and deeper into their future. Compliance is great in the moment. As parents, we want compliance. Influence is better. Influence is the end game. Influence is, you get to make your own decisions, but I hope you'll trust me, because here's what I would do if I were you. But if you decide to ignore that, that's up to you. It's your decision. That's how you retain influence. You can push for compliance. Compliance is great. Parents love compliance. Compliance isn't your end game. Influence is the end game, because what you know is that when your kids become adults, you want them to come to you for guidance, because that's when they're making decisions that actually impact their life in greater ways. See, mom, dad, what are you doing to advance the relationship with you? We're gonna dive deeper into this next week, but if you don't ask that question, you're setting yourself up to potentially lose influence with them. Yo, we can provide for them, we can get all the games on time, but what you long for is relational influence. Don't do anything to alienate them. Don't be so absent that you lose influence. And don't be so interfering that you lose influence. So what are you doing to advance the relationship? Don't exasperate them. Don't provoke them. Rather, bring them up, nurture them, coach them in the instruction that comes from God. Number two, what am I doing to enhance my child's relationship with God? What am I doing to enhance my child's relationship with God? One of the verses from the scriptures that has helped to shape my life from the time that I was a young child is a verse from Proverbs. I know that my parents made a lot of mistakes along the way, because all parents do. But one of the things that I am so thankful for from my parents is that they kept their hand on this dial throughout my life. They were very, very proactive. They were determined to transfer my trust as a kid from them as mom and dad to God. They kept their hand on this dial of my relationship with God. And they knew as I left the house and headed out into the world, if I would put my trust in God and if I could learn to put my trust in God and in his ways, that God would guide my life. And I followed the wisdom found in these verses, and it's the same thing we're trying to model and teach for our own kids. And it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And King Solomon writes this. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Now, here's what's interesting about this. There are a lot of things in life that are counterintuitive. There are a lot of things in life where you go, well, my understanding of the situation is this. And so you do it, and it turns out not to be good. Well, I thought I understood what was going on in that situation. In the moment, it seemed like the right thing to do. And then it wasn't. Your understanding of the situation is this, but God's way of doing things is this. Your understanding is I think it should be done this way, but God says, man, you need to do it this way. And my parents taught us and modeled for us, and we're teaching and modeling this for our kids. When my understanding bumps into God's way of doing things, wisdom would suggest that you go with God's way, even if it's counterintuitive. Because when you put your trust in God's ways, he will show you which path to take. He will guide your life. When you do that in every area of your life, God will show up and show you what you need to do. Isn't that incredible? And don't you want to have kids? I know I do. Don't you want to have kids who are responsible and who know what to do in the respective areas of their life? Who they go, man, here's how I understand how to do this, but God, you're saying do this. I'm going to go with your way. And the way that you do that is by transferring trust from you as mom and dad to God as they grow older. When we teach our kids to put their trust in God, what happens is our Heavenly Father engages with them and helps guide their lives. I want that so much for my kids. My hope is that as they continue to grow older, that they will put their trust in God and go, okay, when my understanding bumps into God's ways, God, I'm going to go with your ways. And I can tell you as a kid throughout my whole life, I have trusted this. And I've believed that God would direct my life because it was so modeled for me and taught as I was a kid. And there's nothing I want more than for our kids than to trust God with all their heart. We have the opportunity, mom, dad, we have the opportunity to keep our hand on that dial, to influence how much our kids put their trust in God. So how am I instilling in my kids the sense that God can be trusted? What am I doing to enhance their relationship with God so that one day their trust shifts from just trusting mom and dad to, God, my trust is in you. I can tell you, we actually want to partner with you. We have so many kids here, okay? We have so many kids at this church. You guys make kids a lot. So here's the deal. We want to partner with you. This is why we do so many great kids areas on Sunday mornings. This is why we're doing groups during the week for 6th graders, 7th graders, 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. Because we want to partner with you to set an anchor of God's love so deep in the heart of your kids that they will trust God when they become adults. And one of the ways that we're doing that is we have an app that's called Parent Q. If you've never seen this, you got to check this out. I have it. I'll show it to you right here. So all four of my kids are plugged into this. You plug in their birth date. You can put a picture, a profile picture of each kid. This shows with my daughter 150 weeks left with her. Whew. Okay, I just need a moment, please. That's crazy. You know how fast that is? 300 weeks with my other daughter. I have 410 weeks with my son and 716 weeks left with our little gremlin. And here's the deal. This is so cool because this actually syncs up. It's called Parent Q, C-U-E. You can search for it on the App Store. It's a free app. And then you sync it up with Westbridge Church. And this actually will show you. This is the video that my four-year-old is watching in his class this morning. You can watch it as mom and dad right here on your device. And then this is the verse that they're learning. Oh, look at this, Proverbs 3. I didn't even plan this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Look at that. They are teaching that to my four-year-old right now. Isn't that incredible? And I can see that. And then this is like a big idea that they're teaching them. And then this is something, an activity you can do during the week to help reinforce that. And you can do that with every single kid. You can do that with all of our kids up through middle school. And you can say, okay, here's what they're being taught. Here's what my seventh grader is learning. And here's the verse that reinforces that from the scriptures. And here's a question I can ask them this week to create a dialogue around that topic. We want to partner with you to set an anchor of God's love deep in the heart of your kids so that when they get older, they transfer their trust from you as mom and dad to God. Because when you do that, your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, engages with them and guides their life. I want that so badly for my kids. I want that for your kids. And so what are you doing? What are you doing to enhance their relationship with God? And then number three, what am I doing to influence my child's relationships with others? When it comes to your kids, you need other people who are reinforcing what you instill in your kids. You need people who have influence in their life, who are influencing them in the right direction, who are not named mom and dad, right? Because if you have kids, you know this relational dynamic very, very well, especially if you have adolescent kids, teenage kids. I say something to my middle school daughter, and I know that it is met with a heavy sigh and a rolling of the eyes. And then she comes home from her middle school small group. She's like, Dad, one of my adult leaders said this, and it is the exact same thing. And she's like, isn't that good? And I'm like, I said that. Yeah, it's good because I said it. I know it's good. I'm like, what the heck? But you know this is true, don't you? You did the same thing to your parents. And your parents would be like, hey, I just want to tell you this. And they give you a piece of wisdom. And you're just like, I know, Dad, duh. And then somebody else said it to you. And you're like, man, you go back to your parents. Like, those guys are so smart. You know what they said? They told me this. And your parents are like, right? You did that. This is just the dynamic. This is why I'm so thankful that there are other adults who are reinforcing that in the life of my kids. So what are you doing to dial in the influencers who are influencing your kids? Again, in Proverbs, King Solomon writes this, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You know that's true. You know that when you surround yourself with people who are influencing you in the right direction, it impacts your life. And you also know there's times where you got in trouble and you weren't even the fool. You were just hanging out with a fool. And you got in trouble. And you're like, wait, I didn't. You're like, doesn't matter. Guilty by association. You know that this rings true in life. That in life, you walk with the wise, you become wise. You associate with fools, you get in trouble. And this is why you're concerned with your kids' friends and who they're hanging out with and who's influencing them. Because you know this dynamic is true. You become like the people you spend the most time with. When it comes to our middle school and high school students here at Westbridge, we're constantly saying it like this. We have a phrase that we use. We say, your friendships determine the direction and the quality of your life. Your friendships determine the direction and the quality of your life. So walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Now, this isn't about, you know, keep him away from Johnny next door because he's got a BB gun. Okay, it's not that. It's not like, oh, for their safety. This is asking the question, God, who are the people that I need to influence towards my kids? Who are the people that are, not just peers, but other adults, who are the people that are gonna reinforce what we're teaching and modeling in their life? Do you know why we ask adult leaders to lead small groups for teenagers? Because you walk with the wise and you become wise. And so, what are you doing to influence the people who are influencing your kids outside of the home? I am so thankful for the adults who reinforce in the lives of my kids what they're learning at home. Because of many of you have served in small groups that my kids have been a part of. Because of many of you, my kids are learning to trust in God in every area of their life. And it's because you are reinforcing that message in the life of my kids, in the life of many other people's kids. This last week, there was a fourth and fifth grade bonfire. At someone's house, someone just invited people to their house, fourth and fifth graders, and 40 fourth and fifth graders. I'm just gonna let that sink in. 40 fourth and fifth graders showed up to have a bonfire. Okay? We love doing this, especially during this season in the fall where it's nice and cool like it was on Friday. What are you gonna do, right? I picked up my son, fifth grade. He's just a ball of sweat, you know? Like, did you have fun? Yeah, he's been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. He's marked it on his calendar, right? He's like, just can't wait for this fourth and fifth grade bonfire. I'm telling you, it's because there are adults who show up and say, I want to reinforce what you're modeling at home. My seventh grade daughter can't wait to get here on Sunday because there are adults who love her and pour into her life. My high school daughter loves serving and living in community at this church because of the impact so many adults and peers have made in her life. I want that for my kids. I want that for your kids. So what are you doing? What are you doing to dial that in relationally? What are you doing to influence the influencers of your kids? Because at the end of the day, you know this is true. Even if you've never put it in these particular words, you know this is true. Who your child is becoming is way more important than what they accomplish. Who your child is becoming is way more important than what they accomplish. At the end of the day, you care more about who they are than what they do. Because you know that the quality of life is determined by relationships. Relationships with parents, relationship with God, and relationship with other people. And here's what I know about every one of you who is a parent. You are influencing them in these three areas already. You are. You may not be doing it on purpose, and it may not be positive, but you are influencing them one way or another. You are doing something right now to either build or detract from their relationship with you as mom and dad. You are doing something right now to either build or detract from their relationship with God. And you are doing something right now that either builds or detracts from people who have a positive influence in their life. It may not be on purpose. It may be accidental. It may not even be positive. But in some way, to some level, you are the main influencer in those three key areas in the life of your kids. So, with that in mind, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing to advance the relationship with you, to enhance the relationship with God, and to influence people who are influencing them outside of your home? Children are a gift. So let's have the wisdom to do everything that we can to leverage relationship and retain influence in their life while we have the opportunity.